straight out of the heartland. A voice of the people, by the people, and for the people. This is the Jake Merrick Show. On the new Freedom 96.9.
Well, good morning, Oklahoma, and you awakened Oklahoma Patriot. Good to be with you this morning, Thursday, April 25th, 7:03 a.m., 67 degrees outside. It feels good outside, but it looks like some rain may be coming, so pack your umbrella. I'm still horrible about that. I got to get an umbrella. I wait until it rains and then say, I should have got an umbrella. So this is your morning reminder. Go get your umbrella, stick it in your car, and then send me a text to remind me later because I'm going to need it. All right, lots happening around the state. I was privileged to be out in Eufaula and helped moderate the GOP meeting out there for House District 15 and their county commissioner forum. So pleasure to be out there. Appreciate all you guys welcoming me. And great list lineup of candidates, I believe, for both races. So we'll see how that turns out. I love interviewing candidates this time of year. And so if you're a candidate out there, hey, send me a message. I'd love to have you on, give you a chance to promote your platform and the reason you're running and why you believe you are the one to elect. And so we need more people running. Sometimes there's discouragement from the establishment saying, hey, we need to support those in office. Not all the time. I got lots to say about that. So I'll be covering that on a podcast later this week on my Jake for the State podcast. But I'll leave it at that for now. But I love to see good people running, representing the people, standing on principles. And if you're one of those, reach out to me, jake@freedom969.com. Love to have you on. We're going to cover some headlines this morning. I got a bit on your health kick Thursday because the first step in protecting your freedom is protecting your health. And then to follow up on health, we have Mick Rosato here. She's going to be here with her guest. Remind me your name. Gina DeMare. Gina DeMare, yes. And you guys are going to be talking about health and particularly Big Brother. I don't know if we can call it Big Brother, Big Daddy, the WHO, the World Health Organization, who wants to dictate what you do with your health. I don't think we want that here in Oklahoma, so we're going to talk about the pushback to protect your medical freedom here in Oklahoma. We'll get to that at the bottom of the hour, but first, let's get to these headlines.
Headlines from home with Jake Merrick on Freedom 96.9.
All right, well, Ryan Walters back in the news telling school districts not to comply with the new Title IX rules. And then we have State Auditor Cindy Byrd with the results on the tourism issue. I know you've heard about that in the news. I'm going to look at that a little bit closer. Governor Stitt, he overrode Senate Bill 1470. Look at that in just a second. And then what's the relationship between the state and the UN in the World Economic Forum? I'm going to touch on that in the headlines, and we're going to dig into it deeper at the bottom of the hour. All right, first, let's look at this story with Ryan Walters. Telling schools not to comply with the new Title IX rules. Let me see. There's a bunch of pushback. And honestly, at the heart of this story, I love the pushback against the federal government. And it's in keeping with the theme of the morning, which is state sovereignty. And we were just talking about this before we got off the air about the money and how sovereignty, our slavery, is connected to funding. So I think the more we can reject funding, the more we can become free and independent as a state. Ryan Walters said, if the Biden administration really wants to move forward with the most radical initiatives we have ever seen in the country's history, we're going to sue him. And that was his promise last year. And then in a letter to all Oklahoma school superintendents on Tuesday, Walter said the rules violate the First Amendment, the Administrative Procedures Act, and the longstanding civil rights protection for women and girls. The USDE has not been given the legislative or judicial authority to redefine sex. And again, this is just where I had some listeners recently write in saying, hey, we love the show, but really disagree with Jake's stance on Ryan Walters. Well, it's just hard for me to knock him when he's, I believe, trying to protect children. Now, I know that protect the children could be a little catchphrase used to pass anything through. Oh, it's all about the children. Yeah, I know. That can be overused. But in this case, when we're talking about public education in our school system, it really is about the children. And when we see horrendous things happening where this whole gender identity push is just so detrimental to the future of children, which is the future of our state and the future of our country, allowing them and allowing parents and allowing teachers to allow five-year-olds to decide what they want to be whenever they one day want to be a kitten, another day they want to be a dinosaur, and then the next day the little boy wants to be a little girl. It's like, ah, he's a girl. We're living in that kind of upside-down culture, and there has to be a stand. There has to be some pushback, and that's just what I see Ryan Walters doing in this very important arena. And I believe in doing that, that is the push to get the focus back on academics. I want to read directly from this letter written by Ryan Walters directly to the superintendents. He said, "I write to you regarding the recent rule change the Biden administration made to Title IX. In discussion with several other state education leaders and legal counsel, there are some serious concerns with the legality of these rule changes, especially as it relates to its redefinition of sex to include gender identity. This redefinition could prohibit single-sex extracurriculars, including athletics, scholarship programs, locker rooms, bathrooms, and any other activity or space that is exclusive to one sex." So we're talking about redefining those areas. He goes on to say, additionally, these rules could turn the act of not using preferred pronouns into a Title IX violation, which could be a clear violation of the First Amendment. "I believe these rule changes are illegal and unconstitutional. They violate the First Amendment, the Administrative Procedures Act, and longstanding civil rights protections for women and girls." And I completely agree. How is Title IX going to protect girls if suddenly we're redefining what a girl is? It is completely backwards. The USDE, he says, has not been given the legislative or judicial authority to redefine sex. "I expect there will be litigation filed soon challenging the validity of these rules. Although these rule changes are set to go into effect August 1st, I hope and expect there to be a preliminary injunction and possibly a permanent injunction that would delay the implementation of these rules while the rule is decided in federal court, which could be an indefinite amount of time. Legislation being considered in Oklahoma would define man and woman by biological sex. If passed, state law and new Title IX regulations would be in direct conflict." So I'd love to know what you think about this. Are you in support of this letter to the superintendents directing them to ignore Title IX, this directive by the United States Department of Education? Man, this is what I love to see. Is federal government coming down with oppressive, tyrannical rules, and we say, nope, we ignore that. Of course, we're going to talk about that exact thing in just a minute when it comes to your medical health. So again, give me your thoughts on that, Jake at freedom969.com. All right, headline number two, we got to move to Cindy Byrd, recently coming out to address this issue of oversight in the state. Her audit, after looking at an audit of OMES, said, "I believe Oklahoma is rapidly becoming a no-bid state. This is a grave disservice to the taxpayers." She released this federal single audit of expenditures made during fiscal year 2022. And this is a federally mandated examination of whether the state of Oklahoma spent federal grant money in compliance with federal regulations. That word federal is mentioned way too many times. Again, a theme of the morning. The audit report covers more than $13 billion of expenditures, which are audited through a formula provided by the federal government. A majority of the $13 billion came from COVID relief funds. The most compelling information revealed in this audit is that COVID allowed the Office of Management and Enterprise Services, OMES, to establish a new set of rules for vendor contracts. SAI has determined these new rules are not in the best interest of Oklahoma taxpayers. OMES has a statutory duty to properly evaluate whether private vendors are providing the state of Oklahoma, as well as cities and counties, the highest quality services for the best possible price. Per the Oklahoma Central Purchasing Act, OMES is required to conduct a competitive bidding process to vet potential vendors. OMES has neglected to follow the statute. If you followed any of the auditing from Cindy Byrd, I believe that she is a gem for the state, honestly. I have not spoken to her directly, but when I've seen what she's done with other agencies in the state, I think that she comes to it in a very unbiased way and gives just facts. Of course, this whole audit is swirling around Shelley Zumwalt and of the Oklahoma Tourism Department, and the concern is that a bid was given to Phase 2, which would provide services to OMES, and Shelley Zumwalt's husband works for Phase 2. And then you add on top of that the fact that there was no other companies that offered a bid for this, that they were the only one bidding. Ultimately, millions of dollars were given to Phase 2. And is it the fact that Zumwalt benefited indirectly through her husband, who works for Phase 2? So lots of issues there, and the release from the state auditor seems to support the fact that this was not done above board. And, well, Zumwalt recently came out and said that she will not be stepping down. There was a big call for Zumwalt to step down from her position in the state, in the tourism department, but she said that she will not be stepping down, that there was not a conflict of interest. According to the report from Byrd, she said subsequent contracting and payments were transacted by OESC and signed by Shelley Zumwalt, who was appointed as the executive director of OESC in May 2020. By April 2020, Zumwalt had approved additional contracts and change orders to P2, Phase 2, totaling $8.5 million. During this period, Zumwalt failed to disclose the fact that her husband, John Zumwalt, was employed as the vice president of P2. As the director of OESC, Zumwalt was required to complete annual forms attesting that no related party transactions existed in the performance of her duties regarding the expenditure of funds. In three separate instances, Zumwalt checked no on these forms. And it seems, though, that the answer should have been yes. So, ultimately, I think we as the taxpayers, one of my biggest issues with this, hey, in the end, if Phase 2 does offer the best bang for the buck for the state, then I'm not opposed to them getting the contract. But I am opposed to Oklahoma becoming a no-bid state, where you have companies popping up, getting contracts with the state of Oklahoma to acquire your money and my money to provide bloated services that probably cost way more than they should if they were offered to the general public, where they're actually in the interest of making money and doing business in the free market. These prices are nowhere near what they are when they're offered to the government. That's just a fact. I think we all know about that. So big concern there. And according to Cindy Byrd's conclusion, there was a conflict of interest. And Zumwalt, though, Shelley Zumwalt is holding her ground, saying there was not. She's going to hold her ground. So we'll see where this goes if the Attorney General decides to get involved and force her resignation. Again, send me your thoughts on it. Jake at freedom969.com. Headline number three, Governor Stitt overriding Senate Bill 1470. This is called the Oklahoma Survivors Act, and it aims to help survivors of domestic violence. Governor Stitt vetoed it, but it was overridden by a vote of 46-1 in the Senate. So the measure directs a court to consider a mitigating factor that the person has been abused physically, sexually, or psychologically by the person's sexual partner, family member, or member of the household, the trafficker of the person, or any other individual who used the person for financial gain when being sentenced. Pro Tem Treat said it's appalling that the governor wouldn't stand up for the victims of domestic violence. The governor's playing politics in the worst possible way, and this stands to negatively impact the lives of victims of horrific crimes, further traumatizing them. There was zero communication from the governor or his team before vetoing this legislation. He either has no grasp of this policy or doesn't care enough to get involved to inform himself. Whichever it is, it's embarrassing, especially for our state, that we have such a high rate of domestic violence. The Senate Bill 1470 passed the Senate 45-0 in March and 84-3 in the House last Wednesday. So it is interesting that the governor would veto this, seemingly out of the blue, with no communication evidently with the Senate. It did bounce back to the Senate, where they quickly overrode his veto, and so it has passed. According to this bill, the defendant must provide to the court evidence corroborating that the defendant was, at the time of the offense, a victim of domestic violence, and at least one piece of the documentary evidence, that is a court record, presentation report, social services record, hospital records, sworn statement from a witness of the domestic violence. So I am curious why the governor, I have not seen an official statement from him. I'm curious why he decided to veto this. It seems on the surface like a slam dunk that this would support victims of domestic violence. I'm interested in his take on this. I'll reach out to his office and get a take on that, and hopefully a follow-up tomorrow on that. All right, final headline this morning before we go to a break. The relationship between the state and the UN, the World Economic Forum. So we're going to dig into this much more at the bottom of the hour with my guest here in studio. But when we look across the state, there is concern about this upcoming relationship between the United States and the World Health Organization and the World Economic Forum and the UN and all these global organizations, unelected organizations that seem to be dictating what is happening in the state. So they voted recently to ban governmental entities in Arizona from enacting any portion. Well, this is from the Republicans in the Arizona House of Representatives. They do not want to eat bugs. That's a good idea, right? And I would agree with them that I personally am not a fan of eating bugs. And if I choose to eat bugs, I want to do it because I choose to, not because somebody made me or because they stripped away any other option, like steak. Okay, I want to have steak whenever I want a T-bone, okay? I want it when I want it, and I'll raise my own cattle, and I'll just raise my own beef or reach out to a local farmer and rancher and get my beef there. That's what I like to do, and I encourage you to do the same. So this is part of protecting our independence and freedom, by the way, is growing our own food, becoming better at that. We need to get better at that and connecting with those who grow our food locally. Man, we need to get so much better at that. But recently, the Republicans in the Arizona House of Representatives decided, hey, they're not going to let anyone force them to eat bugs. And they voted to ban governmental entities in Arizona from enacting any portion of the UN 2030 agenda. Good job, Arizona. We hadn't had a lot of good news from Arizona recently, but I like this one. As well as a long list of other initiatives promoted by the World Economic Forum that are aimed at sustainability. One of those key words, right? When you see sustainability, think totalitarian control. Think World Economic Forum. Think United Nations. Think World Health Organization. So, according to the liberal press, they say these pieces of legislation passed in Arizona are based on conspiracy theories that accuse globalists of using these international non-governmental organizations in an attempt to control the world's populace. They say just conspiracy theory. All right, well, we're going to talk about more of this conspiracy theory in a little bit, okay? I'm going to go to a break, coming back with your Health Kick Thursday to talk about ice baths. Oh, yeah. Have you had your ice bath lately? We're going to talk about the benefit of it. You know I like to do it myself, so we're going to talk about it in a minute. But first, big shout out to Modus Health, big partner sponsor of this show, doing amazing things to help you get connected physically. And they connect bone and joint health to brain health. That's why I love them. They're looking at the whole big picture. We benefit from them personally, so go check them out. ModusHealth.com. That's ModusHealth.com. All right, more to come after the break. Jake Merrick Show, Freedom 96.9.
Freedom.
Traffic.
We now take you to our eye in the sky.
Let's take a look at Freedom Traffic on this Thursday morning. Kind of a foggy start, but that'll burn off. Chance of showers off and on today. Yukon to downtown, 25 minutes. Norman to downtown, 29 minutes. Edmond to downtown, 22. Midwest City to downtown, 19. Keep in mind, north and southbound, 35 still narrowed near 77 in Guthrie. That is for the ongoing bridge project. That's Freedom Traffic.
The events of the world remind us why we're here with 100,000 watts of freedom. We're Oklahoma's talk radio, the new Freedom 96.9 and freedom969.com.
Get ready to bid. Over 500 cattle will be sold this Friday at Express Ranches in Yukon. This sale will feature 160 Angus and Hereford bulls, spring pairs, and fall bred cows and heifers, including 100 commercial Angus fall bred heifers. Express Ranches grass time sale will be this Friday at noon at the ranch. You can bid in person or online. View the catalog, videos, and sort the cattle at expressranches.com. You don't want to miss this offering. Over 500 cattle. The Express Ranches grass time sale in Yukon this Friday at noon.
Now that spring is here, it's the perfect time to stop by Rock Knoll Animal Hospital to get your furry friend updated on vaccinations, chipping, and testing for heartworms. At Rock Knoll Animal Hospital, we treat your pets as if they were our very own. We're located at 6715 Southwestern, just north of I-240 in Oklahoma City. Rest assured, we have all your pet's medical and wellness care needs. Make an appointment at 405-634-5700. Our website's rockknoll.com and like us on Facebook. Rock Knoll Animal Hospital, 405-634-5700.
Sugar Creek Casino presents, here comes Terry Clark. Girls Live, too. Live this Saturday night, Sugar Creek Casino's Event Center.
I got better things.
Eight-time CCMA Entertainer of the Year, Terry Clark.
I just want to be mad for a while.
Get your tickets by phone, Players Club, or online at sugarcreekcasino.com. Don't miss Terry Clark, live at Sugar Creek Casino. In moments like these, stay informed and engaged by listening to Oklahoma's talk radio, the new Freedom 96.9 and freedom969.com.
Dan Bongino.
The Wall Street Journal editorial board says progressives have opposed missile defense for years, which I knew about because you hear them giving speeches about why we shouldn't support this stuff. But you know the reason they don't support missile defense? This is what you'll get. Vote for Joe Biden in addition to a welfare. They don't like missile defense because, quote, they think vulnerability somehow makes war less likely. Folks, there's not a right and a wrong side to this. There's a moron and non-moron side.
The Dan Bongino Show, weekdays 11 to 2 p.m. on the new Freedom 96.9. Reminding you that you are government. The Jake Merrick Show. The new Freedom 96.9.
All right, guys. Welcome back to the show. 726. I'll make it quick here on your Health Kick Thursday because I went long in the first segment, but I know you don't want to hear a lot about ice baths because they're not exactly popular, but this is your Health Kick Thursday.
This is Health Kick Thursday with Jake Merrick on the new Freedom 96.9.
All right. First step in protecting your freedom is protecting your health. That's why I like to talk about it every Thursday. Brought to you by Modus Health and ice baths. Now, when I say ice baths, it could also include cold showers. And the big question is, why in the world did you want to do this? So, I don't know about you, but I love my shower time. Nice warm shower. It's kind of like my detox. It's the time to get away from the kids and disconnect a little bit. I know plenty of you moms out there listening understand. I know my wife enjoys her bath time, but it's just a time to get away, disconnect, and, you know, in the middle of that, why would you want to disrupt that with severe cold? Well, it's become popular. I've talked about it before on the show, and I thought it would be good to kind of revive this conversation once again. I'd love to know your take on it. But the goal is inflammation, and so the source of all disease is actually inflammation. And so no matter what the disease, whether it be cancer or joint pain, even brain health, is connected to inflammation. And we got a nurse here in studio too, so I may have to get her take on this as we're talking about it. There's also other benefits like boosting your mood, relieving pain after a workout. There's a lot of suggestion that you should do an ice bath before your workout, actually. I usually do mine after, but there's a recommendation on how long to take an ice bath if you're doing it. It's usually about 5 to 10 minutes in water that's 50 to 59 degrees Fahrenheit. That's cold. Okay, that's cold. I honestly, on a daily basis, take cold showers, and it doesn't get that cold. It doesn't get that cold. But I do like to periodically plunge into colder water because you have, I think, greater benefits from reducing inflammation and swelling, relieving sore muscles, recovery, exercise recovery. But here's a big thing for me is actually improving immunity. And as we're talking about all of the different things in light of COVID and disease and all these things that are promoting fear and concern, actually ice baths can help support a healthy immune system. And I'm all about natural ways to do this. So it doesn't take long, usually 30 seconds a day I just go cold water as cold as I can get it in the shower for about 30 seconds. And you can alternate this with cold and warm. You can go back and forth. But a small study showed that people exposed to bacteria would respond more positively after cold water immersion. If you get to the place where you take those deep breaths, like if it makes you do that, it's usually cold enough, okay? And actually, it promotes greater immune resistance, resistance to bacteria and disease in your body. So there's a little tidbit this morning, something all natural you can try on a daily basis to help boost your immunity. And, you know, it's free. Hey, if all the lights go out and your hot water goes out, you can still take a cold shower and actually help yourself. All right, that's your Health Kick Thursday brought to you by Modus Health. Go try it. I want to know what you think about it. Send me your thoughts on ice baths at jake@freedom969.com. We got more to come talking about the World Health Organization and Oklahoma's stand to protect our medical freedom. When we get back right here on the Jake Merrick Show, Freedom 969.
SRN News, I'm Greg Clugston in Washington. House Speaker Mike Johnson is calling for Columbia University's president to resign over her handling of anti-Semitic demonstrations on campus. Yesterday, the speaker and other Republican lawmakers met with Jewish students at Columbia. The Supreme Court will hear arguments in former President Trump's immunity case later today. Justices will be determining whether Trump is immune from prosecution in a federal case charging him with 2020 election interference. America's birth rate declined last year, marking an end to the late pandemic rebound. The CDC says about 3.5 million babies were born in the U.S., about 76,000 fewer than the year before. Secretary of State Blinken is in China. That's where he's raising U.S. concerns about unfair trade practices, among other issues. This is SRN News.
If you're 65 or older, you know this. Seeing your healthcare costs go up and up is frustrating. And maybe you were just notified that your Medicare costs are increasing again, or you're just tired of the massive deductibles. Well, here's some good news. There's a program that can really help with this. It's MediShare 65 Plus. It's an affordable, reliable alternative. You can choose any Medicare provider. You get telehealth access anytime you need it. And MediShare 65 Plus is a low-cost option for those with Medicare Parts A and B, and it fills in the gaps where Medicare stops. MediShare is a Christian healthcare community that aligns with your faith. People actually pray for you. They encourage you. And it's proven, too. It's been going strong for over 30 years now. So call now. You can get one low monthly price for up to 10 years. You're not stuck with increasing costs. You can do something about this today. Call MediShare 65 Plus. Find out how much you can save. Call 833-SHARE-55. That's 833-SHARE-55. 833-SHARE-55.
And now the weather.
The weather.
Here's your Oklahoma City AccuWeather forecast. Some morning thunderstorms gives way to a cloudy afternoon that's also going to be breezy and humid with a high temp of 76. Overnight into tomorrow, some heavy, gusty thunderstorms that could even be strong to severe. Storms can bring flooding downpours, hail, damaging winds, and some tornadoes as well, so you'll want to be weather aware and have a way to get weather alerts. With your Oklahoma City AccuWeather forecast, I'm meteorologist Jeff Nordine.
Americans agree on one thing, that 2024 will be a pivotal year for our country. Stay informed on the candidates and the issues that impact your freedom by listening to the new Freedom 96.9. Mornings, at noon, and on your drive home. Because freedom is too important to ignore. We're the new Freedom 96.9.
Hi, I'm Dustin, and this is Jasper. We're with Discount Garage Door. We've served Oklahoma for over 23 years, and we sincerely appreciate all of our customers for trusting us with all their garage door needs. Some out-of-state companies are trying to hit home runs on everyday jobs, so it's very important to find a company you can trust to get the job done right. At Discount Garage Door, we provide same-day service, no hidden fees, and a 5-year warranty on all parts and labor. So give us a call at 525-DOOR or visit us at discountgaragedoor.com.
Get ready to bid. Over 500 cattle will be sold this Friday at Express Ranches in Yukon. This sale will feature 160 Angus and Hereford bulls, spring pairs, and fall-bred cows and heifers, including 100 commercial Angus fall-bred heifers. Express Ranches Grass Time Sale will be this Friday at noon at the ranch. You can bid in person or online. View the catalog, videos, and sort the cattle at expressranches.com. You don't want to miss this offering. Over 500 cattle. The Express Ranches Grass Time Sale in Yukon this Friday at noon.
Psst, hey guy, you want to buy a switchblader out the front?
SharpThings offers online prices in store and online both. SharpThings is the only place to consider getting your next Microtech, Medford, ProTech, Benchmade, and all of your EDC gear. SharpThings also offers a great selection of kitchen cutlery, swords, axes, pistols, crossbows, flashlights, and so much more. SharpThings OKC, located at 6610 North May Avenue, or SharpThings.com. Browse our ginormous inventory in person or online. So get in your car or straddle your mouse and get to SharpThings. Stay sharp, OKC, and head over to SharpThings.com.
The Indian Motorcycle Factory Demo Truck is coming back to Indian Motorcycles of Oklahoma City May 14th and 15th from 10 to 3. It's your chance to come test drive the all-new Indian Motorcycle models, including the 2025 Scout, back-to-back, and find your dream bike. Located in the beautiful Automobile Alley area of downtown Oklahoma City at 7 Northeast 10th Street, contact us today, schedule a test ride, or just stop in on the 14th or 15th. Helmets and proper riding attire, as well as motorcycle endorsement, is required to ride. We'll see you then.
Welcome back to the Jake Merrick Show, where truth is the only news on the new Freedom 96.9.
All right, guys, welcome back to the show. 7:35 a.m., 68 degrees outside. And, man, I'm so looking forward to this next conversation. My guest, I'm going to let you guys introduce yourself this morning. Who do I have with me?
I'm Gina Damaris.
Liar. Liar. That's Mick there. We got Mick Rosato and Gina Damaris. I'll introduce you for you.
Okay.
Got these rebels in my studio here. Mick Rosato, Gina Damaris, here to talk about Oklahoma's stand against the WHO. Now, first, before we get into that very interesting conversation, Mick, you're a nurse.
Yeah.
So I got to get your take on ice baths. Do you guys, have you ever done an ice bath?
I have not done ice baths, but when I was working in cardiac care, people would come in with cardiac injury, and we would immediately put them on the coolers, the chillers, and bring their temperature way down to decrease that inflammation. And then, of course, the surgery suites were all penguin freezing because,
for a reason.
Yeah, decrease that bacteria. So,
Makes sense that it works, huh?
Yeah.
Well, and I got people texting me in saying, hey, ice baths work, you know. So, yeah, I agree with you. Yeah. All right, we won't get diverted onto that. I can go all day on that. But we're going to talk about Oklahoma and the WHO. What is happening right now on a national level? I'll let you guys fill in the listeners as far as what we're seeing with the Biden administration and his love affair with the global elites.
What I know is that the World Health Organization, their member states, and that includes the United States, are negotiating to finalize a pandemic agreement, which is also called an accord, which used to be called a treaty. So the language has been changed 6 different times, and there's two documents, but on May 27th, they're going to try and take this critical vote where they try and place all these member states to consider expanding the authority of the World Health Organization, taking them really basically from an advisory role to directly impacting our nation's public health policies. So there's two. There's the agreement, accord, treaty, so many different languages there, and then the international health regulations. And really, they do pose a threat to our sovereignty of freedoms and our individual liberties. And, you know, it's really about global governance. It's about a massive expansion of power. It's about centralized control. And it's quite impressive what they've got listed out in those international health regulations. You've got everything in there from every country being required to build bio labs and perform gene sequencing, and they are to share those samples of potentially pandemic pathogens to the World Health Organization, rolling out global digital IDs, which have a wallet in it, so that brings in the central bank digital currency, required vaccines, they've got quarantines, implementing isolation. So it's quite egregious to me, but it's something that's necessary that we have the conversation to talk about, because we don't want the World Health Organization, who, by the way, they are not physicians. They're not medical physician doctors. We don't want them to be the ones who say, look, here's a pandemic that is not defined. There's no standards to define it. But yet we're going to tell this country you cannot travel within your own country because this certain area is, you know, in danger. Danger, Will Robinson, danger.
Right. Yeah, it kind of sounds like it's connected to the 15-minute city idea of restricting travel, keeping you boxed in. Here with Mick Rosato, Gina Damaris, talking about the World Health Organization and the state's role in resisting it. Gina, how long have you been focused on this particular issue?
It's really only been a couple of months. I caught wind of the pandemic agreement that was coming on a TV show. Tucker Carlson, I heard about it, and yes, and so I immediately jumped right on the World Health Organization website to try to research it for myself and get some primary documents on that. I read I read three drafts of the agreement and picked out all of the points that I found troublesome. You know, they want to decide who the experts are. They want to decide what is mis and disinformation, and they call on member states to combat that on various levels. They also want to determine what a pandemic is. And in all the different drafts of this agreement, they talk about a one health approach. And in that, they talk about the health of ecosystems and animals and how that relates to humans. And so it really calls into question, would they at some point deem a climate crisis as a pandemic? And then what kind of regulations and mandates and enforcements would they impose?
You got to have the climate issue in there, right in the midst of it, right? Mm-hmm. That seems to be the primary driver for so many of these agendas we're seeing being pushed down, whether it be the electric car idea, the windmills and turbines, the clean energy, which more and more is being exposed, I believe, as a fraud. When you look at all of these sources of quote unquote clean energy, they all involve some kind of oil, some in the process of mining the precious minerals, the rare minerals, the turbines themselves are turned with oil. And so, but it's all promoted through this climate crisis. That is, I think the term now they're using is climate crisis. And I was reading recently about Biden could possibly use this climate crisis agenda to, I see it as martial law to truly use this emergency measures to, of course, it's right here on the precipice of the most critical election of our nation's history, I believe, mm-hmm. of him being able to take control of the nation through this climate crisis agenda. So, of course, it would be connected to the World Health Organization and their agenda. You talked about their control of mis and disinformation. What does that look like?
I think that's just allowing them to determine what is true.
And not, there's no regulation there.
Right.
There's no criteria
there
that
isn't.
They have.
Except what they say.
There
yeah,
isn't. If
exactly.
they determine the experts, then those selected experts get to determine what is true.
That's
so
right.
Like we saw in COVID, where we couldn't have, a dialogue, a scientific questioning, which is what science is questioning things, right? And we couldn't question things. That was shut down. And so they want to determine what is true and don't ask any questions.
Yeah.
Well, we're seeing this huge push in Australia, against X. They don't like Elon Musk because they do not believe in free speech. We're having officials in Australia come out and directly say that. They believe free speech is dangerous. That you can't just let people say whatever they want to say. So they're really pushing back against Elon Musk and X because they don't want people getting onto a global platform just saying what they want to say. They feel like that is dangerous. Well, I think that any tyranny would think that would be dangerous, yes, because that would empower the people.
Well, they have right in their international health regulations, they say the WHO will require nations to surveil their citizens' online activities and censor all information that does not agree with the WHO's health narrative. Hmm. So, yeah. I mean, that's pretty straight out there. And then you've got Biden, who just on April of this year came out with their strategies to strengthen global health security. And in there, they specifically state, these aren't my words, these are theirs, further accelerate the country's implementation of the international health regulations and continue to drive efforts to strengthen global policies, including through negotiations on a pandemic accord and the targeted amendments to the international health regulations. So it looks like they're all in. And, of course, we've heard that there's been the push for Biden to enact executive orders in order to combat the climate crisis.
Yeah,
but everything
exactly.
Now is a crisis, you know.
Yeah.
And what is a health crisis? I mean, that's the whole thing. It doesn't necessarily have to be climate. It could be anything that they deem. It doesn't even have to be a pandemic. It could be something that they think could happen in the future.
Here with Mick Rosato and Gina Damaris. Gina, you said that one of the issues that they focus on here is they ask, what is a pandemic and how to define a pandemic? And you just mentioned, Mick, about this possible executive order based on a climate crisis that would give him emergency powers. And we see all this that happened in 2020 with COVID, with the virus, with less than 1% of a mortality rate of less than 1%. And if they could use that to lock people down, then I could see how they could use anything. That's what the concern is. Mm-hmm. But I'm curious about, you mentioned, what is a pandemic? What do they say? Do they give a definition of what a pandemic is?
No, they don't. They don't give a definition. It's wide open. You know, the closest thing is that they use this one health approach to talk about everything, you know, that we would.
What do they mean by one health approach?
I can find it here.
This idea of one is very common, right? We want a one world, one global government, one approach to all things.
And if those countries, if it is adopted, then that one health would mean that everybody would follow underneath. There is actually in the health regulations where it talks about, they say, well, you're not really under this general director, but it does state in those health regulations that if you don't put these regulations in place, then you have to notify that director, that country has to notify what adjustments need to be made, and there's a time period for those to be put in place. So, I mean, it's really kind of up to them, and they're still rewriting language. They've had multiple different languages. They've had, six different rewrites of the agreement or the accord. And can I just say this, and I don't mean to go off in a rabbit hole here, but this accord, agreement, whatever you want to call it, forces the nations to have emergency use authorizations. They have to put those mechanisms in place in order to give vaccines or drugs that are not licensed with minimal testing that we see happen during COVID. They used EUAs, yeah. And we are still in the United States under the EUA for COVID until December of 2024. And all of that is under the direction of our Health and Human Secretary, Bashara. So if he says COVID is high and there's a risk, then all of that goes back into place.
Wow. You found there where it talks about the One Health.
Sorry. Yes. Here's how they define it. It means an integrated, unifying approach that aims to sustainably balance and optimize the health of people, animals, and ecosystems. It recognizes that the health of humans, domestic and wild animals, plants, and the wider environment, including ecosystems, is closely linked and interdependent. The approach mobilizes multiple sectors, disciplines, and communities at varying levels of society to work together to foster well-being and tackle threats to health and ecosystems while addressing the collective need for clean water, energy, and air, safe and nutritious food, taking action on climate change, and contributing to sustainable development.
Wow. It's so obvious that this is their shtick. This is their vehicle, is the climate change crisis, quote-unquote crisis. And I believe it's very obvious why, because that applies globally. Mm-hmm. It's the global climate, so we need rules to protect us all from keep us from killing ourselves, essentially.
Yeah.
And so they're going to connect their health policies to the global concern of the climate and even animals, because now they're going to, with the RFID chips in cattle, be able to track cattle. It was part of the reason that those in Western Oklahoma censored Representative Lucas, Congressman Lucas, because he voted in favor of the RFID chips, and which would give the federal government the ability to track our cattle. Well, why does that matter? Well, that's what the World Health Organization wants. They want to track all animals to know who's raising what, all to protect us, by the way, all to protect us.
That's it. It's all under safety, right? That's what they use, is everything has to be for your safety.
Yeah. So we got to talk about Oklahoma and what's happening here in the state. We have a piece of legislation that's working its way through. I want to go to a break and come back, and we'll focus on that. What is working its way through? It's passed the House. It's going to the Senate. Let's see what's going to happen with this piece of legislation and if it will do anything to protect us here in Oklahoma. So stay tuned. More to come after the break. The Jake Merrick Show, Freedom 96.9.
Traffic.
We now take you to our eye in the sky.
Let's check out Freedom Traffic on this Thursday morning. No big issues, but keep this in mind. Starting Monday, I-235 at I-40. Expect lane closures and lane shifting for an ongoing project that should last through July. Also, north and southbound 35 will be narrowed near 77 in Guthrie. That's for the continuing bridge project. Buckle up and drive careful. That is Freedom Traffic.
Keeping you up to date on events that impact your world. That's our specialty. We're Oklahoma's talk radio. The new Freedom 96.9 and Freedom969.com.
Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chose for his inheritance. Psalms 33:12. Hey, y'all, it's Austin from Cops Gun Shop. The world is on fire and the media is insulting our intelligence, but that's been going on for years. It's pretty amazing when you break it down. Anyway, I digress. If you want to talk politics, come to the shop. Let's talk about guns. Did you know Cops Gun Shop is the best shop in town? Did you know we would bust our humps to make you happy? That's why we are among the top-rated gun shop in the Oklahoma City area. Come see us so we can help you get into the right firearm to protect yourself and your family in this unstable world. Did I also mention Cops Gun Shop is Oklahoma's largest dealer for Arrow Precision? We probably got more in stock than Arrow Precision does at the moment. By the way, all in-stock AR-15 and AR-10 uppers are on sale at 10% off. We've still got AR-15 starting at $499.
We are open from 8:30 to 5:30 Monday through Friday and then 10 to 2 on Saturday.
Come see us at 416 Hudeburg Circle or on the web at copsgunshop.net. Cops Gun Shop. Live safe, live smart, and the only thing that stops a bad guy with a gun is a good guy or gal with a gun. And the world is always a better place with a gun in your hand.
Hi, I'm Dustin, and this is Jasper. We're with Discount Garage Door. We've served Oklahoma for over 23 years, and we sincerely appreciate all of our customers for trusting us with all their garage door needs. Some out-of-state companies are trying to hit home runs on everyday jobs, so it's very important to find a company you can trust to get the job done right. At Discount Garage Door, we provide same-day service, no hidden fees, and a 5-year warranty on all parts and labor. So give us a call at 525-DOOR or visit us at discountgaragedoor.com.
Unrest at home and around the world. Stay strong, stay informed by making the new Freedom 96.9 and Freedom969.com your first choice for talk radio in Oklahoma.
Hey, Oklahoma, this is Dana Lash, host of The Dana Show. I'll be bringing you the latest news you won't hear anywhere else, weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m.
I'm having a really difficult time taking seriously any House member that's calling to vacate the speakership because they don't have a plan B. They're just pissed off, and they want to play musical chairs again at the dumbest time possible when we have a plus-one majority and zero political capital.
You can hear me every weekday from 2 to 5 p.m. on the new Freedom 96.9 and freedom969.com.
Voice of the people, by the people, and for the people. The Jake Merrick Show on the new Freedom 96.9.
All right, guys, welcome back to the show. 7:53 a.m. Here involved in a very important discussion concerning an upcoming deadline, May 27th, which is when the WHO member states are expected to vote on the final text of an agreement that involves multiple nations, and we're seeing Biden fall lockstep in line with this, to submit the United States to the oversight of the World Health Organization. Did I summarize that correctly, Mick?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what we're seeing, what could happen. And now we're saying prior to that event, before we just give away all of our rights to some global organization, we as Oklahoma are going to try to have a say in this. About our own medical freedom. So what piece of legislation are we looking at here?
So a group of us got together, and what we did is we went to the Capitol. We spoke to several of the legislators, and what we got was a champion on the House floor and on the Senate floor. And I want to give a shout-out to Speaker Charles McCall and the floor leader, John Eccles, and Rick West on the House side. And then we've got Senator Burns and Rogers on the Senate side. And what they did is they took Senate Bill 426.
Okay.
And they amended it to basically mimic the language of Louisiana that came out and wrote a piece of legislation that said the World Health Organization, the United Nations, and the World Economic Forum shall have no jurisdiction in their state. And we adopted that to the state of Oklahoma. And then it goes through and talks about the subdivisions, counties, school districts, all the quasi-public entities shall not engage in the enforcement of or any collaboration with the enforcement of the World Health Organization, United Nations, and World Economic Forum. So they took that to the floor yesterday, and 72-21, it passed, and they adopted this as an amendment into the bill. And now what we're looking for is for this to go to the Senate side in order to be heard on the floor. And we are asking that our senators pass this and get it to the governor and for the governor to sign it into power or into law so that we will actually have a state sovereignty over our health and follow along.
Which I've been saying is the issue of the day, I believe, is state sovereignty. We're seeing it with the border invasion. We're seeing Texas taking a stand. We're seeing Oklahoma advance some kind of legislation to deal with the immigration, the illegal immigrants here in the state. I've said that it lacks teeth, I believe, but at least they're doing something to address the issue here in Oklahoma. It's a starting point. And so with surrounding this whole issue of the illegal immigration invasion is state sovereignty. And what can the states do since the federal government's doing nothing? And, of course, we're talking about the same central issue of state sovereignty. This bill that we're looking at, Senate Bill 426, you said it's cleared the House.
Yes.
And now it's going back to the Senate.
Yes.
And the focus of this bill with the amendments is the assertion of state sovereignty here in Oklahoma, which would refuse any mandates from the World Health Organization.
That's right.
Gina, Do you see hope in the Senate? What are your thoughts as it goes towards the Senate?
I do have hope because I can plainly see, and I think many can, that this pandemic agreement is just flatly unconstitutional. It violates our rights for life, liberty, and property. And so I believe that our senators will recognize that. You know, Personal health autonomy is not an enumerated power of our president or our Congress. And so it is not up to them to turn that over to an unelected globalist body. And so since our federal government is not protecting us from this, as we can see so far, we are looking to our state to protect us.
100%. You know, again, will the true sovereign state stand up? You know, that's the call. We're seeing Texas doing something. But here in Oklahoma, that's what we're most concerned about is what will we do as a state? And will we, I mean, how far will we go? There's lots to talk about surrounding this whole issue of state sovereignty. We could devote a whole week to it. And I've devoted many shows to it. Of course, if you missed any of the past shows, go to the Freedom 96.9, check out the archive shows. But I'll let you guys in the last 30 seconds just wrap up with any final comments on this issue.
Okay, let me real quickly. I want everybody to please make a phone call, send emails respectfully, but request that the Senate leadership of Senator McCourtney and Senator Treat allow this bill, SB 426, to come to the floor. Please call your senators to ask them. We've had lots of good support from our senators, but please ask them to have this brought to the floor and vote yes on it. And Jean, I'll turn it over to you.
Okay. Yesterday on the House floor, some representatives were making the argument that states would maintain their sovereignty, but in reading the drafts very carefully, states will not maintain their sovereignty.
Thank you, ladies, so much for your time this morning. We need to talk more about this, but you guys make that call. Let the Senate leadership know you want Senate Bill 426 heard on the floor and voted on. So many of you great guys out there listening, I know you're going to get on it. I appreciate you listening this morning. The Jake Merrick Show, we're going to do it again tomorrow. Keep standing, keep fighting, keep hoping. I'll see you then.
It's a conspiracy like in the X-Files.
The Jake Merrick Show is a product of Freedom 96.9. All content is the property of Champlin Broadcasting, and a use of the broadcast without consent is prohibited.